podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Local media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
It's the Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
So keep out by your speakers.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
I'm in bliss, you're a miss, vowed to stay, gone away. I can't hear this bottom anymore.
It's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, and KFGD 107.1 FM, both coming at you from St. Louis, Missouri, XRP Radio from the Highlands of Scotland, Rudaroo Radio from the Ocean Beach, San Diego, California, Bill Decine Radio, Leechburg, PA, and somewhere on the outskirts of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, we have oldiesxl.com that plays us very, very early in the morning. My name is Bill. This is episode number 633 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. With me tonight is Travis from the band Endbringer. What's up, Travis?
Hey, how we doing, Bill? Not a whole lot.
I saw you laugh at my very, very early in the morning comment.
Yeah, when you said we did the best in rock and metal, and it was an oldie station very, very early in the morning, like, yeah, I don't know how else they'd pull that off, but yeah, it better be early in the morning. Yeah, it has to be before church time, because when you get up to go to church, like, it better be back to the oldies.
It's somewhere between midnight and 4 a.m. They haven't given me a straight answer yet.
Hey, it doesn't matter. Maybe somewhere out there there's some dudes at a kegger that are tuned into the oldie station, and they're a bunch of metalheads because they couldn't get anything else, and they stumble across that radio station, and all right.
So you guys just got done playing the Upstage Festival, correct?
Yeah, man. We're fresh off that. I mean, I think we're a week removed from it, which doesn't seem like a long time, but when most of the guys in the band are part of the planning crew, like what the dudes from Brace for Impact call the Upstage family, like those guys are like the heart and soul of the Upstage family. Them, their girlfriends, their wives, like they all pitch in, and then it just gets contagious. And so like a couple of us will pitch in on it. Like I don't pull near the weight that those dudes do, but just what little bit we had to do, man, it was. And then when you have a flawless 2-day festival, like not one band missed a time, everybody knew where their gear needed to be. Like the payoff was insurmountable. So I hope those guys, with the amount of work that they put in, feel as good as I do with the small amount of work that I put in on that. Like, I get to play with some of my favorite bands. Like I don't know if you're familiar with Smar from down in the Altoona area. Shout out to Rug and the rest of those dudes. Those guys are one of my favorite bands. So anytime we get to share the stage with them, and I saw Negative 13 for the first time. That's the first time I've ever met those guys. And those guys have been around the way for quite a while. Like, so not only are you getting to hang with your friends, you're getting to discover some really new kick-ass bands. And to be able to say that you were on the same bill as Internal Bleeding and Madball, like, I mean, it was just a whole killer night the whole way through. Shout out to the dudes in Extinguish the Code. My dude Tracy on the drums, like him and merch guy Nick. Shout out to him too. I love playing with those guys. They are so much fun. They're all the way from Brooklyn. So anytime we get to jam with those dudes, you know you're in for a good night. Like those guys are they're fun loving good dudes. So it's, I don't know, it's nothing but smiles whenever them guys are around. Cripes. I can't think any of the other bands right off the top of my head because I'm kind of on the spot. But like I said, you get to discover new bands. You get to play with some of your friends' bands. Cropsy was a big one for me because I'd known them dudes for a minute, and it was the first time I'd ever got to see them play live. And they were like, you're talking about probably somewhere in the ballpark of 2,500 pounds on that stage of nothing but pure speed and energy. So to be able to sit on the corner of that stage and watch that was, and the tribute bands that they've had Friday night. I had a little too much to drink Friday night because I got so sucked into, and I'm not a fan of Stevie Nicks or Fleetwood Mac, but if you are, anybody in the listening audience, absolutely go see that band Nicks in Time. I was standing on the edge of that, like just where the whole crowd was singing every word for word. And I was just like in awe of how spot on they sounded. And then I knew the Black Sabbath band was coming up next. And that's me all day long. And they hit it out of the park. So like I said, I had a little bit too much to drink because of the tribute bands, but I made up for it Saturday by being behaving myself and drinking plenty of water.
I don't drink, but I had a similar experience at Rock for Life this year. Scal could not play because Mikeykiss got sick. So the 10 p.m. band played 2 hours, and Mikey P from Scal joined them on stage for, I don't know, probably 10 to 12 songs. And area, those two guitarists from Big House Pete and Scal are probably two of the better guitarists in the area. And I actually forgot to take pictures. Like, I was in the crowd and just stopped. It was almost the end of the set. I'm like, oh, I didn't get pictures of these guys.
Dude, Mikey is a straight up monster. Like, it just, I mean, you don't even have to bring his guitar playing into it or his songwriting into the conversation. Just as a human being, like, Mikey's always been a great dude. When I first met him, it was years ago, and I was in a band called Beaver Squeezer. He was so nice to us as an opening band, an opening no-name band. Like, that was the first time I ever played in a bar was opening for Skell. And he was so nice to us that I thought he was, like, putting us on. I'm like, man, ain't nobody out there that nice. Like him and Mike Eckes, and at the time, Keith was still around, and Bones was singing for him. Like, those guys were so nice to us. I'm like, come on, ain't no dudes out there going to be that nice to us. And the more I got to know him, like, that's real deal Mike Pallone. Like, he's just such a nice human being.
When he arrived, he gave me a hug. And then, like, 3 hours later, he came over and apologized for not giving me a proper hello. I'm like, dude, you hugged me. He's like, yeah, but I didn't stick around to talk. I'm like, I'm not upset, Mikey.
Yeah, they had to cancel a show due to a pretty serious emergency at one point in time. And he seriously, and it was an emergency that needed their full attention. They weren't going to play that show. And everybody that was involved completely 110% understood. And he still, like, weeks later was still saying that he was so sorry. And so I'm like, dude, like, take a break, man. Like, you always carrying everybody else and being so super nice. Let us be nice to you. Take a break, dude. Like, just take a five. But yeah, just an amazing, like, a real good, genuine human being. And that's another thing. I got to shout out the Brace for Impact guys, not only for the Upstage Fest, but, like, Dave Steele, Snack Pack, Travis Hudson, like, the guys that aren't in my band that are in Brace for Impact are seriously some of the nicest guys you'll ever meet, too. Like Dave Steele was in the zone one time, and I was running sound, and he I can't remember what song they were playing, but he was just, like, he was on it. It was happening, and he spiked my SM58, and like, he's mean mugging for the crowd and everything, just on it, and he spikes my microphone into the stage. It bounces back up. He catches it and then starts apologizing to me into the microphone after he just got a pit riled up 10 ways to Sunday. Like, dude, it still works. If it didn't, and that's the thing. If he would have busted it, I know that he'd have been, like, a good enough dude to be like, I'll replace it. But, like, I wouldn't have been upset in the least. But, like, just the fact that he caught it, like, right off the bounce, he's like, I'm so sorry. Dude finished the show, then apologized to me. But and honestly, I can't say enough about like the bands from Pittsburgh that I worked with, the bands from my area that I've worked with, Clearfield, St. Mary's. I've been lucky enough to have very minimal bad experiences. Like as far as having a 20-year music career and barely ever getting fleeced or having some other band treat you like crap. You know, I've been really fortunate in that aspect. I've got to work with, like, Dog Day Sunrise. Those guys have treated me like a brother from day one. The Scale guys, point blank. Even the guys in my own band, like, I come into that band not knowing any of the, like, I knew Brad and Ed. We had jammed together. The rest of the guys, like, I didn't know the other two guys. Like, I didn't know Dave or any of those guys. And it, like, I've been really fortunate in that aspect. And everybody that we've worked with, I mean, even people that I've met through interviews have been just super, like, I truly am blessed in that aspect to where I've always been surrounded by good people when it comes to music. Like previous bands has always been good dudes. Like I said, very, very, very minimal, clowns that I've had to deal with. So it makes something that I love doing that much more enjoyable when you enjoy the company that you keep, you know?
That's, I was telling you off the air about my daughter, Bria, who is starting to get into the local scene.
Ah, and, yeah.
She wants to go to Rocktoberfest. So I think we're going to do that. And I can't wait to introduce her to Mikey and then him go up on stage.
Two different. Yeah. Yeah. That when he gets that, you know, the face I'm talking about, yeah. When he's hunched over and like in that guitar, I don't know what brand it is. The one with the tire tracks on it. I think if Mikey ever decides to hang it up, I think that guitar needs to be retired in some hall of fame somewhere around Pittsburgh. That thing is almost as iconic as he is, like for real. Yeah. That dude, he's such a, like I said, even if you take the talent and the amount of time that guy puts into his music and his bands, like you still have one hell of a human being. And I think in this day and age, that speaks a lot more volumes than like, you know, than someone busting out some Yngwie Malmsteen stuff. I mean, to me, and you really think about it, you look around at how, what's going on in the world all over. Like I think now more than ever, it's more important to surround yourself with good people, upstanding people. And I think Skell being one of my favorite bands from the time I started playing in bands in high school to like, if I get an opportunity to see them, I try to go see them. Like we tried to put shows together with them guys. Like
I do want to point out, if you guys look over his shoulder, I think that's a white door over there. There is a Skell sticker over there.
Absolutely. yeah, that's the I'm kind of in my jam room, and I'll give you a little, like that door has a whole pile of stickers on it with a bunch of bands that I've been lucky enough to work with and a few other assorted stickers, like of like band sponsors and stuff like that. Yeah, that is 100% a Skell sticker. One of the first times I went to see him, like I was blown away first that a heavy metal band was playing at a bar in St. Mary's, Pennsylvania. And then that the drummer was nice enough to shake my hand, talk to me, and give me a sticker without charging me a nickel. Like that was my introduction to Skell. Like I said, Keith, when I played drums in the band Beaver Squeezer, I used to keep a picture of Keith taped to the back of my rack, Tom, because I was like, when I thought I was getting good, I'd look at that and be like, nah, you ain't that good, son. You better practice. But once again, that's a guy who as a good person, definitely him as a human being outweighed his talent. And to stress my point from earlier, now is more important to surround yourself with good people, nice people. I think we got enough crap in the world now. I don't think we need any more of it. So, you know, if there's any lesson that anybody can get from all that yammering that I just did, it's be nice to everybody. You know, you never know what anybody's going through behind closed doors.
The other thing that it's going to be cool, but the reason behind it is not great. Skell will have multiple vocalists that night because Wally had passed away.
Yeah.
And the same thing when Keith passed away, they took a long time to find a replacement. And part of it was finding someone with the skill, finding someone who fit who they were. And you know, I took a photo of Wally that is actually in a magazine right now, an August edition of a magazine that was featuring First Angel Media people, and it was the last day that I took photos of him. And they asked for 10 photos, I submitted 10. They used that one as my cover photo, and you know, I had they asked me which one, I would have told them that one. So I was really excited when I saw they did that.
That's cool, man. Yeah, Wally is another. I only got to meet Wally a couple of times, but like you could tell he fit right in with those dudes, and like he was a general on stage. Like my introduction to Skell was when Bones was fronting them, and then they had their little stint with Tim. And this is an inside. It's not really an inside joke, but a lot of people ask me like, after they see Endbringer play, or even when I was in the band Death Prowler, like, wow, where'd you learn to do that? I said, I didn't learn how to do it. I just stole everything from Bones and Phil Anselmo. I said, I'm unoriginal as all get out. Everything I do, I stole from Phil Anselmo and Bones from Skell.
That's John Lane, who's the lead singer of 12 Gauge Justice and the Hellfire.
Yeah, Club. Yeah. Well, I go back with the 12 Gauge guys a little bit, too. Hilljack's good dude. He's good people, too.
He tells people all the time that everything he does on stage, he stole from Skell. He's like, every one of your singers, I stole something from.
I mean, those... they're unsigned, they're indie, but around here, like in our area, there was a point in time in St. Mary's where they were, I mean, we're out in country music capital of Pennsylvania, and those guys were putting like 300 people in the El Casino, you know, like it was insane. Like I couldn't believe it. And even back in the day when they were Whiskey High, they were doing pretty well around here, you know, like.
They were, if I remember my history correctly, they went to California as Whiskey High to try and get signed. It didn't work out, and then came back, and that's when Skell was born.
Nah, yeah. See, I didn't know any of that. I just knew that somebody ended up shopping me a cassette tape. It was a Whiskey High cassette tape. And I think it was just called Whiskey High 95, so it was like their 1995 demo. It was either in the eighth grade or just hit high school, somewhere in that ballpark. And I'm sorry for those of you that thought that I was much younger, but I am not. And
in 95, I was graduating, so I'm a little older than you. Not much.
But I wore that tape out, and I didn't even know who they were or the fact that they were even – or no, it was 97. It was in 97. It was in 97.
Yeah, I was in college.
I was a junior. I had the cassette deck in my 1983 Dodge Ram Charger only had fast forward. It didn't have rewind. So I kept having to listen to the whole tape the whole way through, and I wore it out because it was one of those old realistic tape decks that ate every tape that you ever owned. And then I didn't find out, like, we played two or three shows with Skell before I found out that they were the same dudes in Whiskey High. So yeah, I mean, totally off topic, but yeah, I thought that was a fun story to tell. Why not?
I owned that album, but I never listened to it.
I couldn't tell you one song off of it. But if you give me the opportunity to sing 2 Minute Atomic Clock off of Bangladesh 27, I could word for word that guy.
They don't play that song.
They don't play 2 Minute Atomic Clock anymore.
They do not. I believe I heard Mikey say it's because Cam hasn't learned it, the drummer.
Cam, this is my message to you. Get on that. And then if I end up showing up there, then I could sing it. It would be great. I got to do it once. It was when Bones was still fronting them. It was right after Tim had left, before Wally. Bones was filling in. They were playing at Coyote Joe's over in Dubois. And I was down front just screaming it word for word in the first verse. And Bones goes, or Mikey goes, like, he knew me, but he's like, you know it. Get up here. And Bones told me the story at the end of the night. He's like, I all of a sudden started hearing myself in stereo. And I was like, what was going on? And I pulled the mic away and I could still hear me. And I was like, he's like, that was actually kind of good. And that honestly was one of the factors in shoving me into stepping out from behind the drum kit and fronting a band. Because I was just one of those dudes that just sang in my car. Because, man, I had a bad experience the first time I ever fronted a band. Couple of friends had a little group together in the eighth grade, and they did AC/DC covers, and I totally dropped the ball on a cover. Like, who is gonna forget the lyrics to "You Shook Me All Night Long"? Who grew up around an uncle that had a mullet, a Camaro, and unlaced high top ponies? But I drew a blank. Like, I had the crowd in front of me, and it. I made it the first couple lines, and then I just deer in the headlights. And I was so embarrassed. I'm like, look, I really want to be in a band, but I better learn how to play an instrument because that is not for me. Like, so it was intimidating for the longest time. And then I had a few friends that would like hear me sing when I, you know, when we'd be at a party or something like that. And I'm like, nah, man, I poorly play guitar and I fiddle around with the drums. That's what I do. But then I had some other friends that kind of kept shoving me towards it to give it a shot. And like I said, given the opportunity and having somebody that you looked up to, like Bones, that was like, no, I could hear myself in stereo, and then I quit singing, I could still hear me, like that. I don't know that you could get a better compliment than that. So if there was ever a kick in the ass needed, like I said, I've been lucky. I've always had good people around me that were very supportive, and here we are now I'm on Build the Scene Radio getting interviewed, and I don't know, like, say what you will, but I don't get to watch your show that often because I work like 40 jobs, including my band. And I'm going to plug I run a little promo company called Snake Den Entertainment, where I book shows up here. And I work hand in hand with my drummer, Dave, who runs the Upstage. They're those guys that are the backbone of the Upstage Music Fest. Like we bounce a lot of work off of each other, and it's, like doing that kind of stuff just keeps me busy. But when I do get to check out the show, I always like the interview style. You just kind of point dudes in a direction and let them
go.
Maybe that's because I don't ever shut up. Maybe that's why I like being on the show so much, because it's like, well, here's my forum to talk. Listen. Another show that I enjoy too. Like, this is going to be another shameless plug for, I mean, these guys aren't friends of mine, but I absolutely love the show, and I hope I'm not stepping on your toes by cross promoting a podcast. Nope. But
go right ahead.
Heavy Metal Over a Six Pack. Like, I get a kick out of that show so much. In fact, in October, we're bringing Dead Fiction, who has been a guest on their show a couple of times. That's how I discovered them. We're bringing them dudes up from Massachusetts to do a show up here in the little town of St. Mary's, thanks to the help of Nick C. Productions and a little help from Dave over at the Upstage and stuff like that. But yeah, we're like, once again, like
Heavy Metal Over a Six Pack.
Heavy Metal Over a Six Pack. You can watch it on Spotify. At the end of every episode, the reason they call it Heavy Metal Over a Six Pack is the host of the show sample a new beer and then they rate it. Like, hey, we've never had this beer before, let's try it out. And then they talk about what they liked, what they didn't like. And the thing I really dig about it is it's kind of like this. There's really no show format, but they get the job done. Like, they don't have sometimes it's just the host talking about what they liked about a certain record. Other times they're interviewing a band. Like, I definitely think a show shouldn't be one-dimensional, just like a band. You shouldn't just limit yourself to the one alleyway. And I think that's what's cool about your show. And Dave pointed it out when he was on the show, is you get the same answers out of the interviewee, but you don't take the same alleyway. And that is so less boring. Like I even when I interview bands, like I did, I interviewed all the original bands at the Upstage Fest, just a little quick minute and a half interview. And like, even I was like, man, you are boring as all get out. Like, you're asking, like, who's your influence? How was your experience? So as the day was going on, like, I tried to get a little more creative with my questioning, but I only had a real small window because, you know, when
I'm driving your tour bus, what music are we going to listen to between sets? Influences.
Oh, well, like for me?
Well, yeah, but that's how I get the influences.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that was a question you asked Dave, but like, mine's so eclectic. Like, it'll drop. Like, I could listen to Dwight Yoakam 1 minute and then listen to Death Angel the next, you know. I don't really get too much into, I don't know, like a little bit of everything. Like, right now, I go on these real big Mike Patton kicks because I admire the adventurousness of Mike Patton, how he's completely fearless. If he wants to put out a hip hop record, he's going to put out a hip hop record. No questions asked. He doesn't care what anybody thinks. He just goes and does it. And like, a little piece of me wants to be able to do that at all times. Lately I've been on a Mike Patton kick where anything where it come from Faith No More, Tomahawk, Peeping Tom is a big one that pops in, and that, He did this record called Mondo Kanye, which is he does Italian show tunes in Italian with a full blown orchestra behind him. It's it's pretty mind blowing how fluent a guy that was born in California can speak Italian. Like, he is full blown fluent. Like,
I tried to do the introduction to three questions in a song in Italian one time. And normally I would ask you to describe it, but I think we played this a few times.
Oh, yeah. Like the best way I can, if there was, just to keep it brief in a description, is like bringing us back to what we were talking about earlier, be a good person. Like, you never know what someone's going through. And like, you want to sit there and judge somebody who's had their dirty laundry aired out in public, man. Like, just because yours is safely tucked in a closet doesn't mean it's any cleaner. You know, like, everybody's going to make mistakes. And that a lot of the crux of the whole victim record, like if you have a copy of it, or if you, we have most of it on Spotify to stream, but if you listen to it, it's about, you know, that's literally the whole point of the whole record, is like, stop putting everybody down. Like, we're all just trying to survive to get to the next day, and we just pick each other up. Like, we could all stand to be better people. And that's a lot of the lyrical content, is me just self-examining myself and how I can be a better person. And like, I'm guilty of like making snap judgments on people, or judging someone unfairly for something that they did, when I know full well it's something that I've done in my past too. Like, you know, don't judge anybody. And that, when you got a killer band, like I got Ed and Brad and Dave and Tom behind me to write some really killer chunky riffs and put it together in such a killer fashion that, like, when we throw all of us in the blender, it just makes for a really cool song. So it sounds angry, and a lot of it is, like, the lyrics are pretty angry, but I assure you that everything that I wrote for this whole record is coming from a place of, like, looking at myself in the mirror. Like, I didn't have anybody picked out or anything like that. It was all about dissecting me, because, like, how are you going to tell people to be a better person if you yourself ain't putting one foot in front of the other, you know? Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's take a moment and listen to Judgment by Endbringer, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Candy.
Of course you are.
That was Judgment by Endbringer. With me tonight is Travis from Endbringer.
Ah, always a pleasure, Bill. Always a pleasure.
Not really much questioning going on, but lots of information coming out. And that's kind of cool.
Like I said, guys like me that don't ever shut up, they dig your interview style where you just start it and let me run wild. I always worry about that when I watch it back, because I'm like, man, was it? I don't know. So you get self-conscious later on, but mostly it's just nerves. Like, I'm nervous, all right?
I used to have a running joke when the bands were here live in my living room that the drummers were that they did the most talking because they don't usually get a microphone. Well, you went from being a drummer to the person that has the microphone. And
that was a joke for a minute too between me and the Dog Day Sunrise guys. They're like, how in the hell did you ever end up out in front of a band? I'm like, well, I was a drummer and I wouldn't shut up. So someone just stuffed a microphone in my face and said, just let him go. Just let him go.
Well, you know, John Lane, who we mentioned earlier, he was a drummer too.
He was also a drummer. Yeah. Yeah. I've met Hill Jack a couple of times and like, I got to see him do his thing in the Hellfire Club. And that when I've been friends with Clyde and Chris and Pipe in 12 Gauge Justice for a little while. And when Chris hit me up and said that that's who they were getting to front the band because Clyde didn't want to sing anymore at first, I was like, look, I know John is really talented, but how long has Josh Clyde been the voice of 12 Gauge Justice? Like, that's just their sound. Like, he had the right amount of country swagger and the right amount of heavy metal attitude that made what they did work. And then I got to see a couple of videos of Hill Jack, and I was like, you know what? Scratch everything I just said. Like, I knew the guy was super talented. I was just worried about, and I wasn't worried about him fitting in with them dudes as people because they're all great dudes. I was worried about like his sound, how it would clash with them. And like it was like a foot in a shoe, man. Like, they perfect. So I'm really stoked that those guys are working together, because like I said, he's a great front man. I've only had the opportunity to talk with him a couple of times, but you can definitely, like, through his Facebook posts, he's always supportive of the local scene. The two run-ins I've had with him, he's been nothing but, like, polite. Like, it's not the whole, we're putting you on, thanks for coming to the show. Like, he genuinely means thank you for coming to the show. Like, he's the real deal. And the fact that he went out of his way to purchase the Island Ball Field so that way the Rock for Life concerts can still happen. What more do you need to say about a guy's character? Like, he literally did that so his friends could keep having charity concerts. Yeah. And also, shout out to the rest of the dudes in 12 Gauge Justice, too. It's been a while since I've seen them. I keep telling them dudes I'm going to get down to Newcastle to hang with them. And like I said, we're working constantly. I'm constantly working. Like, I'm never not on a clock. And if I have some time to myself, I spend it with my kids, you know, whenever opportunity I can, you know.
I speaking of shout outs, Doug, I mentioned Doug Carnahan. I can't remember if I did that before or after we were on the air.
It doesn't matter. Doug's another good, talented guy.
I took both Emily and Bria to see him on August 11th. I had ulterior motives. It was their 12th birthday, and Doug made the whole town of Leechburg sing happy birthday to them. It was so funny. He was like, so I heard that there's birthdays today, and they immediately looked at each other and looked at me, and in unison, my twin said to me, what did you do? And then he had to sing happy birthday like four more times throughout his set because people just kept coming up. And when he closed his set, he was like, I want to thank Leechburg for being so cool. I'll be here again next month. He said, I was happy to be here tonight and to sing to the 6,000 people that had birthdays today.
Yeah. Go watch After the Fall at any given time if you want to see any of the playoff or any of the way Doug interacts with the crowd. Not to mention just like once again, another one of those uber talented, super nice guys. Like,
have you heard the new track Ride or Die?
I got to hear it live. I'm trying to think. I think it was I believe we worked with those guys at the beginning of the year. It was either towards the end of last year or the beginning of the year. And they were just working it into their live set. Man, like I said, seeing those guys again after it had been a minute, Matt and Steve, like, just, and they were buying merch from all the bands, like, that's more what I like what we need to see around here, you know? Like,
I
can put up 20 Facebook posts, which is also helpful. Please don't take this the wrong way. Everybody still share things and put up Facebook posts if that's all you can do. But like, those guys not only talk it, they like walk it. They will show up at your shows. They will buy merch. If they like you, they will be cool to you. Like, and I wish people were like that.
I recently went to, in New Kensington, there's a venue called Preserving the Underground.
Ah, we got to play with DRI there. What a cool place, yeah. Huh?
And I went there. I just completely blanked on his band name. That's terrible. It's Randy Cole.
Oh, Feast of the Fallen.
Thank you, Feast of the Fallen. I went there to take pictures of them. And they were the opening band, and they only had a half-hour set. So there were maybe 12 people there, and they started filtering in as they were ending their set. But I would say 10 of the 12 people there bought merch. I was impressed.
Yeah,
they just started coming over. I'm like, this is awesome.
I've known Randy for a minute, just like brief interactions. We were both on Brutal Business for a little while. He's actually one of the dudes that put his neck out for us to get that DRI show at Preserving. And I caught like that much of one of their sets at one point in time. And I just hope those guys keep doing what they're doing, because that's a hell of a band. Like,
he started out wearing I don't even know what they're called. It's the face mask.
That ski mask thing that he was doing there for a minute. Yeah. No,
it was hot in there. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, that basement, for a basement, man. It is quite warm. But yeah, what a cool venue. Like, the fact that the record store is upstairs, the venue's in the basement, and then off on the side. Actually, I'm plugging, they're re-releasing, our guitar player Ed and our drummer Dave are re-releasing, they were in a band called Final Stand. They're re-releasing their old record that come out in the early 2000s. Those guys are actually in the Hardcore Museum in Preserving Underground.
Nice.
We went over and looked because I got there super early just because I wanted to like nose around like a record store. Holy shit, So I bounced around the record store. We went down in the basement. We checked out the museum. And the dude that runs it, talk about it. Like, what a great operation he's got there. I can't think of his name escapes me at the moment, but like, shout out to him for running such a cool place. But before I get too carried away, because we go down these rabbit holes and just keep going, but I definitely need, first of all, to shout out my bandmates. We've been together a little over a year now, and our record just turned a year old. The Victim has been chosen. You guys can get it online from our Facebook store. You can stream most of the songs on Spotify. We got a couple music videos up on YouTube, but I want to shout out to Brad, Tom, Dave, Ed, like, like I said, I've been lucky. Every band I've ever been in, I've always had really good, solid bandmates, and these guys are no exception. So it kind of makes the whole songwriting process flawless. Those guys make me look better than I really am, and I always appreciate that about them. And I try to shout out them guys as much as humanly possible. Like, a lot of times the focus gets put on the front man, and I assure you to the listening public, I am the least talented guy in this band. I promise you. Like, those guys are great. And with that being said, I gotta shout out to the people that take care of us. Burning Stone Designs and Apparels. Like, check them out. They are on Facebook, Instagram. Those guys send us some of the most killer t-shirt designs. They not only look cool, they're comfortable. The guy puts everything he has into his designs. He's got some real creative stuff. Sticker Mule, those guys take care of it. They give us a pretty good deal on stickers. Intune Guitar Picks hooks us up with some custom stuff here and there. I'm forgetting a whole bunch, and I know this, but we're going to – Metalheads Against Animal Cruelty. They don't really send us anything, but they give us a lot of shout-outs online, and we absolutely love what they stand for. Like, not only be cool to people, but be cool to pets and animals, and like, take care of each other, you know?
Yep.
And last but not least, the Hope for the Day Foundation, hftd.org. Today, a good friend of mine who I hadn't spoken to in a long time, lost his battle with mental health. And it's still pretty fresh. I was actually going to cancel the whole interview. We talked about this beforehand, Bill, but I thought if I have a platform to say this, and hopefully everybody can get through my rambling to get to it, because if you listen to nothing else in this interview, listen to this. Like, I say this every show. I want to see everybody at the next show. Like, don't be afraid to talk to people about what's going on. Like, you shouldn't be embarrassed to have any sort of mental health issues. I mean, we all struggle. Everybody struggles every day. So hftd.org is a great way to find resources for, like, mental health is not a one-size-fits-all thing. So you need to have different resources, different avenues of approach. And I want everybody out there to get to the next day. Like, I'm only 40, and I've lost some pretty good, pretty important people in my lifetime. And I don't want to see that happen to anybody else. A lot of it's due, and that comes down to, like, alcoholism, drug addiction. A lot of the crux of that stuff is all mental health issues. And even if it's talking to a friend, talking to a parent, whatever you got to do, like, there is a way to get better. And like I said, it's not always one size fits all. So hftd.org is where you can go and find resources, different avenues of approach, help, message Enbringer on Facebook, and I'll talk to you. Like, it's a tough world. And if I can wrap up our whole conversation in one sentence, Bill, it's that the world sucks enough around us. We can all work to be better people, and we can all work better to take care of each other. And, you know, like I said, there's going to be situations like what happened today are going to continue to happen. And every time it does, it's a little more heartbreaking, because it's something that could be prevented by, I don't know, even just reaching out. And if you notice one of your friends is having a problem, just, like, dropping that hftd.org and be like, hey, you know, you don't have to tell me about it, but you can go there. And that's the other thing. Like, take the stigma away from it. Like,
for any listeners that might be younger, your teachers have training in this kind of stuff too. And if they don't, they know where to point you.
Absolutely. And you shouldn't be embarrassed. Every one of us everybody's got a screw loose somewhere. Some are just better at hiding it than others, you know. Like, it shouldn't be something to be embarrassed about. Like, you wouldn't be embarrassed if you had a broken arm. This is kind of the same thing, you know. It's something that you can't help. It happens to you. And, you know, I'm kind of at a loss for words at this point in time, like I said, because this is all still fresh, and I still haven't quite wrapped my mind around it. But, like, I'm not going to get into too many specifics, but sending my best out there to anybody that's been affected by any situation like this. Like, my heart goes out to you. I've been through it a bunch of times, and I'm sure a lot of the people that watch this show, a lot of the people in music, just people in general, everybody's been touched by some tragedy in one way or another. And if we can do something to be better people to stop it, why not? Like, just say hi to somebody, hold a door for them. When you're running late and you're stuck behind somebody in line, just kind of bite your lip, man. You never know what someone else is going through. And saying something ignorant could be the thing that sets someone over the edge. So, in the words of one of the greatest bands of all time, the Wild Stallions, be excellent to each other and party on, dudes.
On that note, this has been episode number 633 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. Join us each and every Friday at buildascene.com. And I want to thank you for coming on, Travis.
As always, it's a pleasure, Bill. Like, thank you for what you do for Enbringer. Also, another shameless plug. Check us out. We're on all the socials.
Oh, yeah. Right below me in the video, facebook.com.
And yeah, you can hit that, and that'll probably link you to everything else. But like I said, keep doing what you do, Bill. Us unsigned bands and us guys that are in our 40s still trying to plug away at writing original music, like, we rely on guys like you doing your thing, and I appreciate your style of doing it. It's Before we close out, shout out to my dudes in war. I'm screwing that up really bad. There it is. It's backwards, but those guys are coming to Pittsburgh on Sunday. They are at the Subalpine. They're from North Carolina. Go check these guys out. Depending on scheduling with what's going on with me, I'm going to try to pull teeth to get there just because those are my dudes. That's a great band.
The Subalpine is a First Angel Media sponsored venue. So,
see what I did there? I'm plugging you guys too. Look. But anyway, once again, thanks so much, Bill. Keep doing what you do, man. The scene doesn't move without guys like you. So,
thank you. All right. So we will see you next week. It should be a three questions and song episode coming up too. I got to figure out when I'm recording that. Friendly Fire just happened. So there'll be another one sometime in September on XRP Radio, but I don't know the date yet. That generally follows my schedule because everybody else is a lot more free than I am. With that said, we will catch you next time. Stop! Bodies are lying in shock! Where does it stop?
This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best on-sign rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.